5. I tell you, amazing thing how the Lord works. Yesterday, we went down to Purdue, and we had a bunch of tracks, obviously. And one of the chick tracks we'd like to pass out is This Was Your Life. So Jan just grabbed a pack, and you know, you just don't look at it. And she's passing it out to the English-speaking people, and then she got down to like 5 tracks left, so it'd have been 20 passed out. She says, "What language is this I'm passing out?" And it was Ukraine. But there were 4 Russian people that went over to Tim and said, "Thank you for passing these out. We can read these." So either Czech publication, when they sent 10,000 tracks to us, one of those packs was Ukraine. Because we didn't order any Ukraine packs, unless we had some for Karina when she was here. And it was just like, the Lord has his way. Isn't that amazing how the Lord does stuff like that? That was amazing. So, okay, we're Numbers 25. Numbers 25, I think verse 9, New Territory. Jan said she could find scripture faster in her Bible than I did on there, so. So, Numbers 25:10. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to be faithful to your words. Help us to recognize this is the real backbone of Christianity, going verse by verse, slowly, precisely. And I pray you'd help us to get this. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse by verse study used to be normal amongst, let's say, evangelicals or believers through the 40s, 50s, 60s. 70s, it started fading away. And so that is the most precise way to understand the Bible. But living in a TV age, people like more dramatic things. And verse by verse is like, it's like trim work in carpentry. It's like building a log house, one log at a time, peeling it by hand. It's the precise needlework for a seamstress. Okay, it's a difference between quality and quantity. And so this is the surest way to understand a Bible and to take time to get a Bible definition, as I mentioned this morning, and will continue to demonstrate throughout, you know, the whole ministry. Once you get the definition down, everything is easy. Okay, like the word elect. Go down to Demat, very confusing. Very easy if you see the definition. It's very easy. And it strains out all your doctrine when you get them definitions right. Okay? And so that's why you take time and slowly run through the words. And thank the Lord he's done it in English for us. So I look at those definitions in English is what I do. And because Mr. Strong is very untrustworthy in as far as his definition. So we're down in chapter 25:10. Preceding the first 9 is the outcome of Balaam failing to curse Israel. So he got some shenanigans going where Israel cursed themselves. And it was when Israel joined himself to Baal, Peor, verse 3, Baal, Beelzebub, Bel. Okay, this is a religious system that is child sacrifices. Okay, and so this is pretty bad. And there's a fella, the grandson of Aaron named Phinehas, where God started killing some of these people in judgment. And this develops an idea where a lot of people think that God in the Old Testament was a harsh, strict disciplinarian, and God in the New Testament is more forgiving. It's the same God all through there. Okay, and the reason why he did this with Israel, okay, is because they had visible proof. They came into an agreement with God for visible proof. And I'm sure we've all heard this, and I preached about this a while back. A lot of times people will say, if God would just show himself to me, or if God would make it more clear to me. And so they're saying that if God would do that, they would most likely follow him better. But Israel proves that idea wrong. They had a God who got them out of the land of Egypt, Red Sea crossing. They had a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. They had direct communication with God. They had direct, okay, the pillar's moving, so let's get the tents going, let's go. And then, of course, we know Israel just happily followed God. Now, we live in a day of faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And because of that, we actually are promised more blessings, because it is more blessed to serve Jesus Christ without seeing him than to see him. And he said that about Thomas. So when a person is saying, I want this direct stuff from God, well, if you do, then you're going to have some direct judgment too. Where the mercy is more in the New Testament because we're living by faith. So a lot of times over here, about 41, the Apostolic Church over there. Okay, I bet you they've never had anybody die in a church service who lied to the Holy Ghost. I bet they never had anybody that was risen from the dead. I'll bet you they never had anybody that got healed out there. Because they're not apostolic. They're not apostles. All the apostles are dead. And so what we're going to see is, because Israel had this direct line into God, then a direct judgment comes to play also. And so this is why you tend to see there's more mercy as far as the New Testament goes. Okay, so 24,000 people died in this plague, verse 9. 23,000 on one day, according to the cross reference in 1 Corinthians 10. 24,000 people died, so let's make it within 7 days. So you would think that's the end of it, but okay, there's a guy named Phinehas in verse 10. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. Okay, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. So that's Old Testament doctrine. How could we give an illustration of that? Okay, the illustration is you have husband and wife, and one party catches the other party in an adulterous relationship. I don't think they're going to be happy and joyous about it. And so this is God catching Israel in an adulterous relationship. And so God is jealous. So is Exodus 34:14, God's name is jealous. So the Jehovah Witnesses could actually call themselves jealous witnesses. And they could still have JW on that. Okay, and so that's his name. It says his name. They don't look at that. They don't look at that. Okay, so then the Lord is going to, he's going to reward this guy named Phinehas, and he's going to reward his family. Okay, a lot of times, there's a natural law of life. Children suffer for what their parents do wrong. And the other natural law is children receive great benefits when their parents do right. That's a natural law. Okay, and who's to blame when the children suffer? Well, let's go with the parents. But most people blame God. Okay, and so Phinehas is doing an act here that God is pleased with under the Old Testament covenant. And God is right in what he's doing. Now, he may not tell us the reason why he's doing this. We don't know the behind the scenes things. We don't know the heart of these people. And when God judges, he's going to come down and he's right. And that was a question that Abraham threw at God in Genesis 14, 18. When the Lord said, I'm going to blow Sodom and Gomorrah off the map, and Abraham said, what about the kids? He said, I'm blowing it off the map. He said, well, what if there's 50? He said, okay, I won't do it. He said, how about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? That's called a Dutch auction. You go down. He gets down to 10, and Abraham's thinking, okay, Lot, Mrs. Lot, four daughters, two sons-in-law, so that's 8. They would have had to talk to 2 people living in there. And then of those 8, 4 died in the fire. So, and when Abraham was going down that little auction thing, he said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And when God blew Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Bozrah off the map with brimstone, sulfur, which I have some of at my desk, blue flame, cutting torch, God did right. Okay, animals, everything. He just burned the whole place up. And God did right. Okay, and when a person goes to hell, God is right in doing that. He's right in doing that. Okay, a lot of people don't want to accept that idea, but that's the truth. We don't, okay, if you would hear, okay, let's make it a child of yours. If you'd hear somebody cuss your children and cuss your children and cuss your children and reject your children and kill your children, what would you want to do to that person? The Lord on Calvary, I believe on Calvary, when the Lord said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. I think that God was about ready to drop an A-bomb around that area to kill those people for killing his son. He would have completed a salvation plan. There would have been nothing contradictory for him. Oh, let's just take care of this. Boom. And when the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, God answered his prayer and then gave Israel a second chance in the book of Acts. And so that was part of the extension of Daniel's 70th week. So what we're seeing in the Old Testament is God is a God of justice. So for you and I, what do? Okay, when somebody commits a criminal act against us, report it. You say, well, it's somebody in church. Report it. If it's a criminal act, we're not going to cover up anything. When we got the evidence, we're going to go through with it. Okay, when there's a time of judgment, okay, let's say it's a thievery. Okay, remember we caught the young kid that was stealing from Rensselaer Church? My family and I, we caught him in action. Some of you remember that story? Anybody don't remember that? Anybody remember that story? Okay, we have a floor safe down there, and it's a good floor safe. It's a professional thing. And one of the deacons, when we'd put cash in the floor safe, and you have to spin the dial, and he would spin it, but he didn't spin it enough to lock it. And so a young man in the church knew where it was, and he'd pull up on it, and it would be unlocked, and he would grab $5,000. He did $1,000, I think, the first time, and then $5,000 the second time. And then he went up to the boats and spent the money on the boats. And so, I would count the money and the deacons, and I told him, I think we're missing some money. He's questioning himself. I'm questioning myself. We're both questioning our sanity. We didn't blame either one. We're just questioning ourselves. And so then on a Sunday night, after church, Heidi, Ashley, Luke, and I were playing detectives. And so Jan brought us over to the church. It was 10 o'clock at night. It's dark, so nobody could see us coming in a church building. And so we were in the pews on this side. So I was under the first pew, and then Luke, and then Ash, and Heidi. And if somebody was going to walk in the building, we're going to reach over to each other, wake each other up, and then wait for the parties up in the front. And then I'm going to have my gun, and I had my bounty hunter badge with me, just to flash a blad for fun. And then Heidi was in the front. She's going to turn the lights. No, Luke was in the front with the lights. He's going to turn the lights on. He had a baseball bat in case he needed to do something. And then I had my 9mm, and then Ash was in the back, and if there was a shootout, she was going to run out the back and call the cops, and then Heidi's in the back with a projector filming all this. And okay, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, oh, come on, this is, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to catch anybody like this. But we just thought, it's still fun to play detective. Oh, and I put a little toy over by the door by the gymnasium in case they came that way, they'd trip on the toy so I could hear it. So 5:30 in the morning, here comes somebody in the front, double glass doors. Everybody in church knew that you can open the door with a penny. So here he comes walking in. I see the grubby little tennis shoes, and I'm looking at grubby shoes. Then I can hear him up front pulling on the safe. So I met him at the door with, I held, when I saw who it was somebody in church. Teenage boy knew better. Maybe he's in his 20s. And he actually walked over to the front, looked at my badge, set it back down, and walked back over there. And then I could hear him yanking on it. And so Luke was in his spot. He hit the light. Heidi was in her spot. Ash was in the back. And then here's the kid comes out. And I said to him, what you doing? You're stealing from the church. And he goes, don't tell my mom. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He said, I was looking for my Bible. 5:30 in the morning. Yeah, sure. Right. And so I just said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I said, you're going to come back here tomorrow night. We're going to sign a contract. You're going to pay us back. If you're going to do right in this matter. He ended up stealing $7,000. Okay? I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to draw up a contract. So the next day I got my contract going. And I drew up the contract for $50,000. Why? Because I was going, okay, if a person is repentant in theft, it can be twofold, 4, 5, or 7 in the scriptures. Okay, so if somebody steals a car and they have the car, then it's twofold. If they steal the car and hock the car, then it's 4 or 5-fold. So that's the program in the Old Testament. And so I had that contract for $50,000. I was just covering my bases. He signed it. And it's funny, when we got home, when Lindsay, how old were you, Lindsay? About 4 or 5 at that time? 4, 5? When we told her who it was that stole it, she goes, him? And you see, he'd been stealing from the job. He'd been getting away with it. So if I let him get away with this, am I accomplice for his next crime? According to Ecclesiastes, maybe so. Okay, and so we signed the deal. He paid the first month and then he paid again. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I said, I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to win. He said, why would you take a Christian to court? Because he was behaving worse than an infidel. So I can take him to court. And what I did is I took him in the courtroom where the judge in the courtroom was a judge against me in another case. He was a witness against me. So I wanted to put it in front of him to make sure he had to rule right. He hated to do this. And I would just say to this young man, I said, what do you want to do? I wasn't angry with him. I wasn't mad at him. I'm taking the roads of the laws of justice. I want you to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. Do you want to do the right thing? Yes, I do. Okay. We're going to walk in this courthouse, and I'm going to get a default judgment on you right now, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so he goes in court. The judge looks at him and said, did you sign this agreement? He said, yeah. Judge said, why? He said, I want to do right. And so I got a default judgment for $50,000. Okay, and that doesn't solve the problem, really, because now you have to go back in court for proceeding supplemental to enforce the judgment. I could use the negotiable instrument as collateral. But I enforced the judgment, so I called him back in court, and he didn't show up. And this is the judge that had to rule. He was a witness against me. In fact, I called him for a witness, and he had to recuse himself from the case. And so it was kind of a game going on. But and so the judge said, "What would you want me to do, Mr. Hoffman? I can arrest him." I said, "No, that's not the right thing to do for theft." I said, how about garnishment? He said, you write the order, I'll sign it. And that's how I got the money from the young man. through his garnishment. Okay? Why did I do that? If he would have apologized, if he would have tried to do the right thing voluntarily, we would have been merciful. We wanted him to do the right thing. But some folks just aren't going to do the right thing. And if you don't do something, I doubt he stole from any employer after that. Because it makes you jumpy. Okay. Another case down at Purdue. One kid stole the sign out of my hands. So I'm holding the sign, scripture sign. The kid stole it out of my hands, cussed me several times. And I just looked at him and I said, "You're a thief. The Bible says thou shalt not steal." And he took off laughing. And then Luke said, "Dad, I followed him to his car, the guy's license plate number. What do you want to do? You want to call the cops?" I said, "Nah, I don't want to mess with that." I said, "But if a police officer comes by, say something." And one did. And so that officer went to the kid's house. He said, "You got something that belongs to somebody out there." Yeah. He had his tail between his legs the next time he came. And he's walking up to me. He's trying to fix the sign because he had folded in half. And the officer said, "Is the sign damaged?" I said, "Oh, yeah, it's damaged. That's a second crime." And he was an officer. "What do you want to do? Want me to throw him in jail?" I said, "Let me talk to him for a sec." And so I talked to the kid, and I said, "Man, you didn't know from me from Adam, and you're cussing me like you don't even know me." I said, "You got anything to say to me?" I said, "Do you got anything to say to me?" "Well, I'm sorry." I said, "It's about time." I said, "Okay. Apology accepted." Went over to the officer. I said, "Forget it. No matter. Let it go." See, so if that attitude was not an attitude of correction, he was going to the jail that night. Got to get his attention. Okay, God follows the laws of justice, but when a person humbles themselves, then God will bring in mercy. Okay, who would have ever thought Manasseh would have gotten God's mercy? You remember the story of Manasseh? Manasseh probably makes Bill Clinton look like a saint. And Obama and Michael like a saint. Manasseh was in a child sacrificing. And when he got arrested at the end of his reign, he was the one of the worst kings of Judah. And he is a product of Hezekiah. When Hezekiah was given 15 additional years, that's when Manasseh was born. But when he was arrested at the end, he humbled himself. Can you imagine the grace of God? He humbled himself, and the grace of God forgave that man for his sin. So the pattern for us in the New Testament is, yes, when it's a criminal offense or even a civil offense, you follow these laws of justice. But when the party humbles themselves, mercy steps in. Okay, and it's nothing to do with vengeance. Vengeance and justice are two separate things. With God, they're the same thing. For us, vengeance is us wanting that party to hurt like I hurt when they did that. That's vengeance. Justice is, I want that party to do the right thing. I need to follow these laws of justice. If I don't, they're going to face it at the judgment where they can do nothing about it. At least they can do something about it down here. And so that's what God is doing here in Numbers 25, is he is laying it down on them now. So in verse 12, he said, "Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace." That's to Phinehas, because he is following justice. "And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood." Wow, what a blessing. "Because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel." And then he names the criminals. "Now the name of the Israelitish that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu. a prince of the chief of the house among the Simeonites. This guy should have known better. Well, everybody should know better. And then it said the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Bill Cosby. Oh, it just says Cosby. So, Cosby. Okay, and the daughter of Zur. She'd say, yes, Zur. Okay, and he was head over a people of the chief house in Midian. So these are high up people. And God is, boom. You see, in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, it says, when sentence is not executed speedily, therefore in the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. The reason why we have so many repeat criminals is because they're not being punished properly. Jail is not rehabilitation. It's punishment. You don't put a thief in jail. You maybe put an ankle bracelet on them and then have them pay back to the party they stole from whatever, fourfold, fivefold, sevenfold. That's the, you see, where our system, when you put a thief in jail, he gets 3 free meals a day. And who gets punished? The taxes go up, the insurance goes up, is the victim is punished again. So in the Bible, you know, thievery, you know, like in a Western, a horse thief's being hung, that was unbiblical. He's supposed to restore the horses. Okay, now if they refuse to follow the laws of justice, the criminal, if they refuse to get the horses or return the products or restore them, then the execution comes in play. So if you had a choice between going out and getting some horses and dying, I think most people would choose the right thing. Okay, and so America has probably the largest percentage of population in jail per capita than any state in the world. And that's ridiculous. And would people be surprised if they discover that attorneys and judges often have stock in some of these jails? Is that not a conflict of interest? Yes, they do. And there's a guy in Pennsylvania was putting teenagers in a juvenile thing because he was getting a kickback from this until they got caught. What kind of a person does that? That is an evil, conniving individual. And that's just amazing. And so in then 16, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. So this is warfare. Why? For they vex you with their wiles. You can see the term wiles of the devil, wherewith they have beguiled, and there's a term that's an unusual term. It's like a seduction. And remember, it says that the serpent beguiled Eve. So there might be some kind of strange stuff going back there in Genesis 3. Wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, in the matter of Cosby, okay, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, that was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. Okay, let's see real quick if I can see it. In chapter 31, I think it is. Avenge. Okay, there's that. Okay, remember Balaam was the rascal that was trying to get this money, this payment, but God wouldn't let him do it. And so he's the one that finagled this beguilement. Well, in 31, look what happens to him eventually in 31:7. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, 5 kings of the Midianites, Midian, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. There's the rascal. There's the rascal, the instigator of the whole thing. So he received his just dues. Rightfully so. Now, Balaam shows up in 1st, 2nd Peter, Jude, and Revelation. So there's going to be a repeat of some of this history during the tribulation time period. Balaam's, shall we say, spirit or you repeat history or something like that, something in a trib. So, okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray, thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to understand the scriptures better. Our country is so much better off when they at least have paid attention to Deuteronomy. And Lord, I just pray, God, that, we're not demanding that you bless America. Our country's not deserving of it. We do ask for mercy. We do ask for mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.